One more time.
Hello.
Good. I got the right mic there. So, you know, I'm going to be going through a lot of audio tapes I did in the last week. And you've been in town about a week yourself, right?
Just under a week, yes.
And where do you come from, Andrew?
I'm from Connecticut.
And did you hear of all the wonderful laws and services in Santa Cruz and that kind of drew you in, possibly, you know, shooting up heroin, meth, that sort of thing?
No, actually. I actually came here on a whim. I knew absolutely nothing about the city, just a feeling drew me here.
Directly from Connecticut, or did you come via some other city?
I started off in San Francisco. I stayed at a friend's apartment for a little while, but I didn't feel at home there, and I was beginning to feel restless, and something about Santa Cruz was drawing me toward it.
You heard that it was a hobo's heaven. It was a playground where you'd be fed grapes and drink the wine of the... No, not exactly.
No, I actually heard none of that. Like I said, I actually had no idea why I was coming here or what I was planning to do or where I was staying. I just had my backpacks and I got off the bus and I happened to walk to the levee and saw a group of hippies or awesome people. And I just started talking to them, and thus begins my journey.
And I guess, did you get to the Red Church on Monday? Were you there at the Calvary Episcopal Church Monday evening? Because that's where I began doing a lot of leafleting and talking to folks. You're part of this sleep out, I guess. What would you call what you're doing on the steps of the post office?
I would say it's more of a demonstration of just how we are here and that we are human beings and all we want is somewhere to sleep and to be peaceful, and we want people to see us. We want people to see our faces and to know us and to know that we are peaceful people, and we are fighting for those who can't afford to live in luxury, that can't afford to live in a place where there's a bed and a shower, and we wish to be the voice for those people, and we want to take a stand, and we want to put ourselves on the front line of that, and we're willing to, you know, sacrifice our comfort, you know, to do that.
And indeed, I guess there was at least, you've already received at least one citation here, I guess, previously to your last night you slept out at the post office along with a dozen or so other people.
Sure.
On
mm-hmm.
the steps at night. Did you have a legal place to go that night? I mean...
No. None of us had a legal place to go that night, or any night for that matter. And that's really what the fight has been about, is looking for a legal place where someone can go who can't afford, you know, to live somewhere and that doesn't have money, doesn't have a place to stay, and, you know. Sure.
Well, I know that a group of, well, I'm going to be playing some of these tapes. I don't know if we're actually going to reach that point because time seems to rush by on these interviews, but... A bunch of folks went out to the homeless, what I call the homeless lack of services center, yesterday. I don't know if you went with that group or not.
I did not, but I have been to the building. Sure.
And what they did was, as I observed, and as I guess you'll hear from the interviews, is they requested put on the waiting lists for the homeless services, specifically the shelter service, because there is a law in Santa Cruz that if you're on their waiting lists, then you won't be... you might be ticketed for sleeping or camping, but the tickets shall then be dismissed by the city attorney if you're on the waiting list. Because the implication is, if you're on the waiting list, there's no shelter because you can't get into the shelter.
Sure.
And indeed, the Armory Winter Shelter, which we have 100 beds or cots or floor spaces throughout the winter, closed. Last night was Sunday night, so that wasn't available. Are you an outside agitator come to Santa Cruz to disturb the tranquility of our town? I mean, who invited you to come and create all this problem? Don't you realize that local people don't want you here? What do you think when you're confronted with, have you been confronted with that argument?
I have. Not directly, not as directly as you've put it, but I feel the person who, the being that has invited me here is the universe, and I like to think that I go where I can play a role, or I could be a part of something that I'm capable of changing, or you know, altering and making better. You know, I am I an agitator? Yes, in life I am an agitator, not specifically to one, you know, genre of lifestyle, but I like to live by the idea that things need to be stirred up. You know, people need to be made aware. And people need to change, and the only way to change someone is to stir things up, is to agitate, is to make people angry and make people uncomfortable. But you know, that's the only way, you know.
Well, it's true that such a I don't know, signal figure as Martin Luther King, who gets a lot of good press, although very few people are interested in what he actually did and what he actually was involved in. Believed in creative tension, and so did Gandhi. You create, you expose, and you create a kind of creative tension that will enable the contradictions and the abuses in a society to be made visible, and this will result in ultimately a resolution for the better. And I guess, is that the theory of why you're sleeping outside? Because here are all these ragamuffins that are just lying around on the steps of the post office with these sleep is not a crime type signs all over the place. And well, I mean, I'm giving you the cranky view of how you might be seen. Have you had much interaction with the local homeless population in terms of how they regard this positively or negatively?
Yes, actually. All of the population, the homeless population, are ecstatic about what we're doing. They come and they bring gifts, they bring food, they bring music, they bring conversation, and they love our fight, and they love that we're on their side, because we really are. We're fighting for them, and we're fighting for all of us. And I like to, you know, I think they look at us, the young, the youth, we've got energy still, we've got strong legs, we've got strong minds, and I think they look up to us.
How many homeless locals have you actually spoken with individually yourself?
Dozens, sure.
And none of them has been critical. Why don't you go back where you came from? Why are you causing trouble? They're just going to come down on us after you leave.
None. That has not been, no.
Have you heard any criticism from anyone about this protest? And has anyone attempted to dissuade you and suggest it's not a good idea for you to do it?
The police sergeant this morning, yes.
And what did he? What was his argument?
His statement was, "You're not the first person to try this. You know, talk to the other homeless. You know, they've tried this before. It's futile. You know, what you're doing isn't unique or you know, groundbreaking. You know, he basically told us to give up and that it was pointless, and that you know we're wasting our time here." And, you know, I definitely don't agree.
And, you know, I like to kind of present all this devil's advocate, confrontational. A lot of these arguments, I think, are pretty hollow, and I don't agree with them. There has been an activist, Brent Adams, who has his own radio show, who has been working on a thing called the Sanctuary, Santa Cruz Sanctuary Camp, who has got a great video out on the subject. He does a radio show for folks who are interested Monday 9 to 11 at night on Free Radio. And you can find him on the internet at the Santa Cruz Sanctuary Camp. He has been very critical of this protest, and because he believes it will alienate the community from considering a sanctuary camp on a longer-term basis with a buy-in from conservative people and a buy-in from city council members. I don't agree with him, but that's his argument. That's his feeling. He also thinks that I manipulated you and the others into this protest, which pretty good on my part if I actually did do that. I'm not even aware that I did. I must have done it in my sleep. I'm a supporter of the protest, and I certainly have given out in whatever information I know. But what's your reaction to those two criticisms, that you are being misled by someone who wants to, I don't know, make a name for himself, put his name in the papers or whatever, or that this protest itself is going to sink the sanctuary camp because you'll give it a bad rep?
Well, first I'd like to say that I don't believe that, you know, although I'd like to give you a lot of credit because you have been very helpful and supportive to our group and to our people. I don't believe it was you that had started the, you know, started this, or that you've been manipulating us in any way. But I think this is inevitable. I feel like I think that this things, you know, a movement like this is inevitable, and I like to believe that it has to happen, you know. So yeah.
So here you are.
Sure.
You know, one of the doubts I had about this protest was that my fear that people weren't really ready to do it in terms of recognizing the possible legal consequences if they really want to crack down. It doesn't appear that they do, at least they didn't this first night. I mean, you didn't get a ticket last night, but you got a ticket previously, actually, when you were in the Poganip, not even camping, not even sleeping, right? You were just in an area they said was a closed area. One of your number, Freedom, didn't want to leave, as I understand it.
Sure.
And others said, let's get out of here because, you know, although it was not really clear that they gave a legal place for people to go, although the Poganip was open during the day. And you got a citation for, what, obstructing an officer or resisting arrest or some such thing?
Something like that.
And you were actually taken to jail.
Yes.
You were taken in handcuffs to jail?
Yes, I was.
Are you the kind of violent thug that you maybe underneath you might... and when you have a court date on May 14th?
Yes, or the 15th, sure.
Or the 15th?
Yeah.
I have to get that one straightened out. I think I may have the wrong date. That's for an arraignment, yeah?
Yes.
And you're facing up to a year in jail and a $1,000 fine, you know, if you're convicted of that, if they even bother to charge you. You aren't charged yet. You are simply, you were arrested for that. Will the DA actually charge you? I don't know. Did you... tear yourself away from the police officer?
No. We peacefully had a conversation with him. You know, that morning or that afternoon, it was very peaceful. We did not physically, you know, resist. You know, we went peacefully. So,
so it's strange they should charge you with such a severe crime, misdemeanor, requiring, if you want, a jury trial. That's interesting.
Sure.
And both you and Freedom, a former Occupy Santa Cruz activist, who's been around for quite a while, at least in the last year or so, also got a citation, mm-hmm. and also was jailed with you, yeah?
Yes.
You were held for, what, 5 or 6 hours? Or?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I guess you got a second citation today, not at night for sleeping this at the post office, but that... Well, why don't you describe what happened throughout the night and then what happened afterward? I'll leave that to you.
Sure. Well, the night turned out to be not what we expected it to be. We expected maybe to draw a crowd, maybe get the police a little agitated, but it wasn't that at all. Actually, it was a very beautiful night. We sat on the steps, about 20 of us, and we played music and had conversations and cuddled up in sleeping bags and blankets and just had a very loving, peaceful evening, just, you know, as a family, because I believe we are a family. Well, we've become a family. And, you know, people, you know, wheeling shopping carts and holding guitars and carrying their backpacks that contain everything they own, you know, would walk by, and they're the most beautiful, interesting people, and yet they're regarded as criminals or scum or animals, and they come by and they just hung out and we would talk, and they were very supportive, and it was just, all we are asking for is a peaceful place to be, to live, to love, and to just be free. That's all we ask. And it seems to be that it's regarded as an unreasonable request, when really I think it's a right as a human being. There's no free place a person can go without feeling feeling that they're not supposed to be there. You know, especially our group. There, it's such a, you know, we're looked down upon, and you know, we just want to plant crops and love each other, and, you know, start a...
But not necessarily on the post office step.
No, the granite is not exactly the most comfortable sleeping surface.
Or the best place to plant crops, for that matter.
For that matter, sure.
Or to make love, for that matter.
Of course. But we would take it. If they offered us the steps, you know what? We would take it.
I didn't see any copulation when I was there. But if you'd like to call in and talk to Andrew, you got any questions, comments about this, you can. The phone number, the call-in number here, is 831-427-3772. 427-3772. You are tuned to Free Radio, 101.3 FM. We're also streaming. And you can find our radio schedules and some archives for some of the shows at the website freakradio.org, freakradio.org. Again, the call-in number, 427-3772. And I guess, Andrew, you'll be back there tonight probably to answer questions if anybody wants to come to the post office steps.
Of course.
I suspect you may get a stronger response from our friends, the police, but you never can tell what they're going to do. I understand they treated people very respectfully and tell us they gave Freedom a ticket for blocking the sidewalk when she wasn't blocking the sidewalk.
Sure.
I find that hard to believe. Our police officers would never stoop to falsifying the situation. That couldn't really happen in Santa Cruz, I don't think. Mm-hmm. That's an ironic statement, folks. I'm going to start now playing some tape from the Red Church interviews, and eventually we'll get to some of the interviews that happened last night. If you have something you want to add as we go along, some thoughts, and I know you're, in essence, invited to be co-host to the show as we move along, as well as being a guest, or if you want to make an escape, the door is available too, in case you want to, you know, make a getaway. Again, I invite people to call in if they like. This is a station that really benefits from that kind of interaction with the community, and you get a chance to speak too. It's a good thing. 427-3772 is the call-in number, so call in if you'd like. I'll kind of keep an eye on my email to see if anybody wants to email me at rnorris3@hotmail.com. That sometimes happens during the show, although this computer is slower than molasses in December, as somebody might say. But you can also find out more about this, at least my perspective on, or the reports I received from the protest that you were at, Andrew, by going to the Santa Cruz Indie Media website, indiebay.org/Santa Cruz, one word, Santa Cruz, small letters, indiebay.org/Santa Cruz. I've written a number of stories about it, and then there's also some action coming up on the Saturday, day after tomorrow. Keith McHenry, who came to town last Sunday, and was speaking at India Joe's supporting Food Not Bombs and the Santa Cruz 11, four of whom are still facing ridiculous charges for essentially a peaceful protest inside a bank a year and a half ago. Murder cases are being postponed so that the DA can push his pound of political flesh on this, so that the police chief Vogel's reputation and that of Deputy Chief Clark can be maintained. It's a ridiculous thing. Anyway, McHenry did come to town. He's a great speaker, sometimes goes on at great length about history, which can interest me, usually does when I haven't heard it before, but I'm going to be playing his descriptions and his speech probably on Sunday when I have a longer show. But on Saturday at 2 o'clock at the Sub Rosa, he will be coming back to give you and anyone who's there some forums, some workshops, some interactions, some conversation on how to form a Homes Not Jails group, which really looks beyond occupying steps or sleeping outside to occupying vacant buildings. And you may remember, I don't know if you've seen the sticker, I don't have one on me right now, but we were giving them out at the Project Homeless Connect a week ago. Empty buildings are the crime, not the people who occupy them, the criminals. And he's going to be talking about that. He's going to be talking about the California Homeless Bill of Rights, how to defend yourself against local thugs. And Keith is a completely nonviolent guy, so he will probably have a lot of nonviolent suggestions. I think it's the flyer that was circulated around this that it said arm the homeless, but of course it was arm the homeless with cell phones, with public support, with human dignity that was talking about. I guess, you know, I mean, I frankly, as a person who doesn't want to necessarily ignore the rights of people to carry a weapon if they need to defend themselves, a weapon of a different sort, that's another issue too. That's going to be happening on Saturday at 2 o'clock at the Sub Rosa Cafe at 703 Pacific, on right off Pacific Avenue, right next to the bike church, for those of you who know where that is. And that should be interesting. Let's begin listening to a little of this series of interviews that I scraped off the streets, or I floated down from the heavens, or wherever it came from. Let's hear it.
We're doing a surreptitious interview. Your name, sir, is...
Well, like, you're not a cop, right?
Cause no, I'm not. But this is a free radio, though.
That's sound... Okay. I just... Yeah. I don't talk to the police.
Right.
So, yeah, I got jumped Friday.
By the way, it is April 15th, tax day, for those who are wondering. I'm at the Red Church, about 5:10. Go ahead.
And one of the Mexican that kicked me after I got punched in the face and knocked out on the bridge by the courthouse, I recognized him as, like, he's a southerner. I used to use heroin here years ago, and they ran me out of town then. And they were trying to run me out of town for being gay and not being local and for being on methamphetamine. But I'm just bipolar with psychotic...
Before or this time?
This time. They said, fuck you, you little faggot. We're going to have so much fucking fun with you. And he kicked me in the nuts, told me to get up. And they said, fucking buy some fucking methamphetamine or we're going to keep kicking you in the nuts.
How many were there?
Two. There were two.
What time of day was it?
It was like 9:30 at night.
Nobody one else
was,
around?
Or? One was like a Mexican, and he was a southerner that I recognized. And the other one was like about a 35-year-old, maybe, like street punk with like Santa Cruz logos. He just had all the Santa Cruz gear on, and it's like every 2.5-3 weeks they all just go walking and wear all their Santa Cruz gear, and they punch chicks in the face, they mace people, they use weapons and knives, and I got stomped on my like whole upper left side. But
what day?
Friday night.
So it's Monday.
Same
so
time
it's 3 days ago.
Yeah, 3 days.
And did anybody observe this?
A couple people heard it because it would last about 10-15 minutes on the levee. But there was no. I was by myself, which is not safe for traveler kids. We're supposed to travel in packs, and you know I broke the rule.
You sleep at night with other people.
I stay at second story right now.
Which is?
It's a respite house. It's like peer run mental health.
Okay.
Like it's kind of like a fallout shelter. If you're like about to go to the hospital, but not quite.
See, this is driving you out of town. You're leaving in 2 weeks.
Yeah. No. It's not going to drive me out of town. This is my home.
Okay. I think actually there's somebody else I spoke to right before you. So.
But I saw a lot of kids leave the last couple of days, and I've given them a lot of backpacks, and I've given them a lot of gear.
And you think these are East Side people?
They say they're East Siders, like the white, like Santa Cruz, like street punks. Like in San Francisco, they would be scum fucks, kind of like getting a little bit too old at like 35, 40. He's too old to be out on the streets anymore or whatever, so they're like just doing what they can. You know, they're pissed too.
What are they upset about?
Young. We're young and like, I don't know. Turf, I guess.
Yeah.
They just don't like, they don't like hippies, backpackers, drifters, vagrants, skateboarders, like, I mean, they don't like anybody.
Disgruntled group.
Gays, you know, anything. Transsexuals. It's non-locals. It's hatred. It's full hatred. And it's like practiced violence, and it's like pure, like, sociopathy. It's totally sociopathic. And, you know, like, I'd keep my animals inside if I had a house.
And we've been talking with, if you want to say.
My name's Phantom.
Thank you, Phantom. So it's a breezy day. Maybe make it even hard to hear the interviews here at the Red Church. And flyers are blowing everywhere, apparently. So we're talking with a man distributing flyers. Sir, what are you doing? You got a whole bunch of flyers in your hand. What are you distributing?
Okay, I'm working for this organization called HUF, and Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, and we're handing out flyers about the fact that vigilantes are attacking people in Santa Cruz County who are living outside. And also, we're trying to organize all kinds of actions around that. And one is to, because the armory just closed, people are going to be subject to both attacked by vigilantes and be threatened with the police to for living outside. So we're trying to organize around that outside of the Calvary Episcopal Church and as well as inside.
Now, aren't you a man who favors taking over vacant buildings rather than engaging in this foolish approach of trying to freeze outside and live as a fourth-class citizen and scrape your way from campsite to campsite?
Yeah, because it turns out that there's probably one or two abandoned foreclosed properties owned by banks in Santa Cruz County for every person living outside. And the reality is, when I started this group Food Not Bombs years ago with my friends, there are virtually no homeless people. So you can see that policies of the corporations and the government have actually created conditions where there are thousands and thousands of more homeless than there ever used to be. And so everyone should really just have a place to live and not have to stand at soup kitchens to get food, because essentially all of us that are living outside are doing so as a courtesy of keeping the super rich, basically.
Well, just don't they deserve it?
Yeah, well, maybe through the heredity and stuff like that.
Better genes.
Better genes. That's what I was told before, too. So anyway, I think it's wrong, and I think that we should. Did you get a flyer here?
It's not.
Yeah, because it's important. And I think that we should be changing society. It should. You know, we can spend 50 cents of every tax dollar that the public pays in income tax on the war and on military and stuff, and then we pay money, billions of dollars, in subsidizing Monsanto and other transnational corporations like that. And all this money that the taxpayers pay goes to all these things that are, like, really unnecessary, while the very people that are profiting from all that don't pay any taxes at all. And so there's clearly enough resources so that people should have, could live in houses and so on like that. It's like all this stuff is manufactured.
Those vacant houses need to be kept for the real estate market when the prices rise, and those that have lawfully purchased them are able to pass them on for a speculative profit.
No, I don't think so. I think we need to change that concept. Also, you see, a thing that really is tragic is, on the same time, you have all these abandoned foreclosed properties all over the country. You have these KB homes and people making horrible, toxic housing tracts in beautiful natural areas just to make a profit there. So it's just that all this billions and billions of dollars in profit being made at the expense of both the environment and of people's rights. And that's ridiculous. That should definitely stop.
What is your name, sir?
My name is still Keith McHenry, and I'm one of the co-founders of Food Not Bombs.
I see. You're that McHenry guy that we tried to stop in San Francisco and failed to get rid of.
Yeah, I'm the same guy. They're having no luck.
Well, you know, we'll try again, maybe. Thank you. Mr. McHenry. So I've heard word, we're not going to actually grill the guy who told me, but he's a smoking guy, and he's heard from a police source that there's a plan afoot to ban smoking on River Street, which really means to ban homeless smokers on River Street, of course. Any comments, any of this, gentlemen, before I leave this subject?
Smoking is not a crime.
In Santa Cruz, smoking is a crime. I pray that man will learn to his shame and to his pain the truth. We're here at the Red Church.
And let's take a brief musical break, unless my guest here has some comments on something he's heard.
I'd like to just say I really like the idea that we should be trying to utilize empty lots, empty buildings, for the homeless or for some charitable cause. You know, they are a waste. They are owned by banks that aren't doing anything with them, and you know, I'd rather be sleeping in an empty building than on a sidewalk or on a stairwell. You know, so.
Yeah, so what about Wells Fargo CEO's bonuses?
They make me ill to even try to imagine.
Well, you obviously have a mental health problem. You don't understand the nature of the capitalist system. And You're a loser, in other words, obviously. It's let's have a little musical break, and we'll be right back. By the way, the phone lines you may have heard, I think they're open. You may be able to give a call. You might want to just test it out and see if you can reach us at 427-3772. Then you can quickly hang up, you see, if you'd like, and if you feel, you know, like you don't really want to say anything. But perhaps you will. 427-3772.
A couple guns and an old guitar ain't all this old girl needs. All this old girl needs. All this old girl needs is some whiskey and some money to take her where she leads to the Saturday.
That was Dan Frechette from his album Lucky Day, Piper K, and Spring Boogie. Oh, still in the studio here with Andre, or I should say Andrew. Let's get that straight. The phone number here is still 427-3772. And just a sort of a quick look ahead, I'm looking at the city council, or the shitty council, as I like to call them, agenda. They're meeting next Tuesday, April 23rd, both in the afternoon at 3, 5 o'clock, to hear a quick two-minute hello, hello from you, and goodbye, goodbye, on the oral communication for items not on the agenda. And then at 7 o'clock, they're resuming their council session with a few more items. I'll be talking, I think, more about this on Sunday, but assuming I'm here. There are a couple things that are coming up that Yeah, I think I'll just sort of leave it for there. I'll leave it for Sunday because it's not terribly exciting. Nothing concerning, let's say, rent control or police misconduct or actually housing or changing the laws that currently criminalize homeless people in public spaces and all the stuff that I think you and perhaps I, well, I and perhaps you, I should say, are interested in. Let's get back to some more of the interviews. This is some tape from yesterday, April 17th, when a bunch of us went out to the Homeless Lack of Services Center in search of receipts for waiting list status on the Pauley Loft. And the reason for this, as regular listeners surely know, is that if you're on the waiting list for the Pauley Loft, you are not subject to prosecution for camping citations, because what it really means is that all their shelters are full, and so you would likely be able to mount what they call a necessity defense anyway, and so they're trying to stop that sort of why waste the court's time, why waste the police officer's time, why waste your time on that, and that's a very good thing. Of course, the real issue is why not have legal places for people to sleep, because this still allows the police to run around and ticket people anyway, drive them around, threaten them, and so forth, which they continue to do without providing them with any real alternatives. For 3 years, this law passed in, 2 years, 2.5 years. This law passed in October, November, it became into force in 2010 as a result of a Peace Camp 2010 protest. Not unlike your protest, Andrew, that you had last night. This one went on for 3 months. They had a porta potty there, so the community couldn't scream, "You're poo-pooing and pee-peeing in the bushes," which, by the way, I didn't ask you about and probably should have, because there were, 10, 12 people there, and there, after a certain point in time, the city wisely closes its bathroom so that if people go poo-poo and pee-pee in the bushes, they can be blamed and possibly arrested, which, of course, is a great use of community resources and a very sensible approach to getting homeless scum out of town. I mean, only a person who's a scum would take a pee-pee in the bush, right? Yeah, particularly if all the bathrooms are closed. So we went to the Homeless Lack of Services Center. We heard for a long time that they were going to put people on the waiting list, they would give them a little statement that they were on the waiting list. But they never did until April 17th, 2013, a historic date. And we're going to hear some of the whole conversation that happened around that.
It is about 25 to 1 on April 17th, and I'm driving out to the Homeless Lack of Services Center with Freedom and, of course, the notorious
Cody.
And, Freedom, you just spent the night in jail.
Actually got released at 8 p.m., but I was in there for, the classic four-hour tour.
Oh, and you were arrested for resisting arrest?
Allegedly. It was very unclear what I was actually arrested for. My ticket, municipal code, I think, was allegedly resisting arrest, although I was compliant with walking to the car, and
I was... What were the circumstances, of your arrest?
So, we were over at Pogona, and it said closed area, as the rest of the land is closed. All of Santa Cruz County it was acknowledged by the police officer that there is no legal free place to sleep, which poses a massive issue for anyone who does not have money. I mean, that constitutes slavery if we have to pay to exist, to be in one location. And the police were friendly, as were we. Basically, we were told to leave because we were in a closed area, and I have had a lot of ankle issues recently, and it's hard for me to walk. The police said there is nowhere to go when we asked, where can we go? Where is there to be able to go to? And
what
stay
kind of day was this?
4 hours. Yesterday morning, probably around 11 or noon, and then today they came again at 11. And today we left because of this meeting and because of this that we had already planned to go to the Homeless Lack of Services Center.
But this arrest happened yesterday about what time?
1-ish, 2, 1, yeah, 1 or 2, actually. They did come a little later in the afternoon, maybe 1 or 2.
And this was, who was involved in the arrest? Do you remember the, these were police officers, rangers?
Officer Inua was one of the officers, nice guy. And I remember Tony, I don't remember their last name.
All police officers, or were they?
There was a few rangers, Matt was one of them.
How many total?
It's like three rangers, oh no, yesterday about two rangers and two police officers, one or two.
Okay, and you were a group of about seven or eight people?
Yeah, we were.
And only you and Andrew chose to stay?
Correct.
And this was not at night, this was during the day. Had you been aware this was a closed area? By the way, you don't have to answer any of these questions unless you want to.
Thank you. Yeah, I feel like there is no open area, really. There's no, like, all of nature is open, in my perception. We are allowed to be on public land, on natural land. This was a place where there was a homeless encampment back during the last Great Depression. We are currently facing a very large depression, although it can't be technically called that until 6 months after the recession is over, and we're still in the heart of it. So, I mean, I strongly believe that we need to exist somewhere, and without being criminalized for it, that's, in my perception, why there's been an increase in drug use in this town, because there is nowhere to sleep, so people have been turning to coffee or methamphetamines or whatever to deal with the pain and to deal with the isolation and
stay away,
the move along, the degradation, the humiliation, all of it. I mean,
were you aware you were in a closed area? Did you see a sign that said closed area?
I can't say whether or not I saw a sign that said closed area, because the area is so vast that there were multiple entrance points.
Was it fenced off?
No.
Did it have any visible signs immediately within visual distance of where you were sitting?
No.
What did these officers and rangers say to you upon initially approaching you?
Something along the lines of, this is a closed area, you are not allowed to be here. And
did they give you a place to go?
No, absolutely not.
So they didn't say, oh, if you move, 100 feet, you can relax, or?
They tried to tell us that 50 feet, 50 yards north of where we were would be out of their territory that they patrol. However, that is sheriff territory, and the sheriff's greet with guns, sometimes not,
I see. So it was. So they didn't, because the Poganip is divided into an area. How much isn't the entire Poganip in the city limits? I'm not sure.
It's a very large forest.
Well, we'll continue this conversation. We've been talking with
Freedom.
Thank you, Freedom. So I'm at the.
Any comments on any of that, Andrew? Understanding that anything you say is archived, police officers can hear it. If you actually do get charged with resisting arrest or obstructing an officer, these statements can be held against you, whereas before, as so far, you've not made any statements on record. So you should be advised you have a right to say absolutely nothing. As a journalist, I want to hear what you have to say. As an individual concerned about your rights, the best thing is always to advise you to keep your trap shut. So, you make the choice.
Yes, I mean, just like what Freedom was saying, there were signs that the officers pointed out to us while escorting us to the cruiser that said, this is a closed area. However, the entrance points that we were using to get to the campsite were not marked. They were kind of off the beaten path, so we did not see the signs. And yes, we did, like Freedom was saying, we did ask the officers, where does the boundary end for the closed area? Where's an open area? And they basically gave us some kind of, you know, runaround answer, and I mean, it didn't really, you know, didn't really answer our question.
Hmm. So, but they did give you an opportunity to leave and get lost, as I think most of the group did, right?
Sure, they sure did, and they were very friendly and very reasonable, and they spoke to us with respect.
They respectfully wanted you to abandon your, some would say, abandon your right to peacefully sit on the ground. And were you just spoiling the environment, perhaps?
No.
Crushing the flowers, perhaps? Starting a small campfire next to a large tree, perhaps? You're not telling us all, are you? Are you? Admit it.
The irony is that myself and the group that I associate with are probably more conscious of the earth and loving toward the earth than most of the people in the city. And that's the irony, is that we're treated as if we're the problem. You know, we're the ones that are polluting. We're the ones that are leaving garbage around. We're the ones, you know, that are going to be a risk for a forest fire. When in reality, our fire that we constructed was in a big sandy area, which is, sand is not combustible, and we know how to properly maintain a fire. And you know, we're all adults that have been doing this for a long time. And you know, and one of the officers' main arguments were, one of their main concerns were that, you know, this, you know, you see these fire pits, you know, if you imagine the damage you could cause if you started a forest fire. Well, you know, I understand that, but you know, it's our right to live, and we know how to properly maintain a fire, and we love the earth.
You weren't charged with starting a fire, and there was no fire there when they arrived.
Correct. No, but there was a fire pit, and a few days prior, another member of our group was ticketed when they did catch the group with an open fire going.
So you're fire bugs and arsonists, is what you're admitting here on tape.
Yes, of there course.
I'm glad that resolves that. We have a place for you in one of our special cells. Let's continue with the April 17th Homeless Lack of Service Center visit by a group of people that I guess many of whom you slept with last night.
Sure.
Or next
sure.
to, anyway.
Sure.
Power of 115D, and we have 2, 4, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 people here. Becky's Johnson sitting with me on the couch. Lawrence is up next. It's about 20 to 1. Pauli Loft Admissions. There's a sign on the door. It says Pauli Loft Admissions here at the Homeless Lack of Services Center, Monday, 4:15. It lists four people's names: men, Steve K., Georgia, Ray Owen Todd, women, Elizabeth R. If your name is on the list, beds can be claimed Monday through Wednesday by checking in with a loft monitor in the hygiene bay between 4:30 and 5:30. If your name is not on the list, check back at Thursday at 1:30 p.m. and any available beds will be given out. That seems to be the procedure. There's a sign on the wall: attention, no sleeping in this area. The management with an arrow. So what I've heard out here so far is that there are no receipts to be given and that there are no beds available, but everyone has been given a form to fill out, and people are filling out their forms.
And again, the forms are application forms for the Pauli Loft. The receipts would be an indication that you have filled out a form, been put on the waiting list, and that you are on the waiting list. And that might be a signal to a police officer that it's kind of stupid to give you a camping ticket. Maybe they can cook up some other ticket, like the kind of ticket you got, Andrew, resisting arrest, I don't know, wearing a blue hat, something, you know, pertinent of that sort.
So be advised.
And I could just film you if you consent to it?
It has to go through.
I'm just asking her personally.
There's a bit of discussion here about tape recording and video recording. One of the things that this group wanted to do, and that I suggested be done, actually, is that they keep an audio and a video record of being refused, if they were to be refused their receipts or refused the right to apply, so they can point out that they made the attempt to do so if they are subsequently ticketed, because they, I guess, intended that night to possibly, they may fall asleep somewhere in Santa Cruz in a public place, and that would result possibly in some kind of citation, if I'm not mistaken, Andrew. All right, let's hear a little more.
I'm going to film her personally.
So we have Shelley McKittrick here.
And a woman named Shelley McKittridge came up, as well as another woman named Christine, workers at the homeless, what I call the Homeless Lack of Services Center, a name I use because of their failure to provide meaningful shelter or to even advocate for it in a significant way. They have a Pauley Loft program, which has 46 beds and is always full, really. They have... there's a couple of other programs around the Homeless Lack of Services Center complex. There's the River Street Mini Shelter, which I think it has 30 beds. Half of them are for mental health clients. There's the Page Smith Community House, which is a halfway house kind of thing where you pay a third of your income. You're there in a long, six-month-long program. And there's the Reveille Family Shelter, which is the big building on the corner of Coral Street and Highway 9, which is for, you know, for families. Reportedly, it's half empty, but again, I don't have any strong stats on that. And there's then the Homeless Persons Health Project, which generally gets the best write-up of all these programs. Let's hear some more.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. So, if you're comfortable. So we're talking with...
Chris Youngren.
Chris, you're a long time, well, relatively long time worker here.
Yes, about a year.
And we're here, of course, because... Take care. Because some of the folks here are trying to sign up for the Pauley Loft. But we understand there are no spaces immediately available.
Right. There's no beds available in the loft right now.
And that'll be true, like, tonight.
Yes, there's no beds available tonight.
And the soonest the beds might become available would be...
Would be Thursday. So we print a list every Monday that's right behind you here.
And Mickey invaded, so let's give him a chance to be evicted. Hang on. He's really hard to get rid of.
And anybody who doesn't show up for their bed by Wednesday, those beds go up for grabs and people can come to the bed giveaway on Thursday at 1:30. It's not very likely that many people will get a bed because there's only, you know, a few people on the list, and I think some of them have shown up for their bed, so there might be two or three beds to give away.
And that'll be tomorrow, Thursday
at 1:30.
At 1:30. And this happens every week?
Yes.
And is this your standard? Usually about five people, or there are often more? What's happening there?
No, sometimes there aren't any bids to give away on Monday, and sometimes there's... do you mind just...
Sure.
And sometimes there's more than, you know, five is about probably the max beds that we give away.
So this is really actually a good prospect day, although not the best. Let's put it this way, even though there's five bids, there may not be any bids on Thursday, depending on what happens when people get there.
That's right.
Now, do you give out receipts that say specifically you're on the waiting list?
We don't. We don't give out receipts.
Okay. And has this generally been the policy for the last few years? Last year that you've been here?
Yeah, as far as I know, it's been the policy. What happens is the DA will send us a list of names of campers who've been given tickets and have said that they're on the wait list, and we'll compare that with our wait list and then email them back. So that's usually how people resolve the camping ticket.
Because it's interesting, Monica Martinez, who's the director, has said that anyone who wants a receipt can have one. She said that publicly on a number of occasions, but apparently that's not the policy, right?
Well, it's not the policy for us to offer anyone a receipt, but if anyone asks, I'd be happy to provide them with one.
Because I think all these folks would like receipts. Is that accurate?
Okay.
So that's great. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, that's no problem at all.
And by the way, this person who's helping you out is, what's your name again?
Chris Younger.
She's Chris.
Yeah. Hi, you. Nice to meet you guys.
And this is Rain, if I'm not mistaken.
Charles.
Okay.
Yeah, we have resolved it. We had already told them we're going to print some receipts.
So you are going to print out some receipts. That's great. Now, is this a first for you? Have you ever done this before?
Because usually it's in reverse. Like, if they come to us and ask us for, they got a camping ticket, then we go into our office and we'll print out something saying that
the shelter was full that night.
That they were full and there's no beds available. So then the ticket gets dismissed, and that's usually the protocol. But we're happy to do it in this reverse order where it probably won't stop them from getting the ticket, but it'll at least be admissible in court that they had. Oh, and if you got a ticket already, it'll be dismissed.
And this really is gratifying to hear, because for 3 years I've been inveighing about this, and it could be that part of that time I've been completely wrong about their policies. It's just people who've gone out to the shelter, including Brent Adams, who is himself houseless, went out there last fall and tried to get a receipt and couldn't. And I also heard a similar thing from several other people. So it was my concern that they were not on request giving out these receipts. But not only are they giving out receipts, they're also, according to Charles, African-American staff member there, a friendly guy, he, as you just heard him say, that if people get camping tickets, and people can get camping tickets, I guess, who aren't on the... actually, it's not entirely clear, but I think he may be saying that even if you're not on the waiting list and you get a camping ticket, they will write out a statement that the shelter is full. Actually, I'm not too clear if that's what he said. Let's review that, see if that is exactly what he said.
Ticket, then we go into our office and we'll print out something saying that camping ticket, then we go into... This is, yeah, because usually it's in reverse. Like, if they come to us and ask us for, they got a camping ticket, then we go into our office and we'll print out something saying that...
The shelter was full that night.
That they were full and there's no beds available. So then the ticket gets dismissed, and that's usually the protocol. But we're happy to do it in this reverse order.
So that's interesting. Notice he doesn't say, we'll print it out only if you get a camping ticket and you're on the waiting list. He says, if you get a camping ticket, we'll print it out, indicating the shelter was full that night if it was, which is what we have been asking them to do for 3 years and have not been able to get a clear response from either Don Lane or Monica Martinez that they will do this. And when we did get such a response, it didn't seem that they were. But now it appears, although... didn't have any receipts available for people who had who did ask for evidence that they were on the waiting list, and we had to provide them with Huff receipts, which we ourselves had printed up, that they're giving them out. And this is certainly a step forward. And I commend the young people who went out there. I commend the, they're all pretty young. A couple of old people were there too, like myself, but. And Becky Johnson, who a Huff activist, who created the Huff receipt that the Homeless Lack of Services Center used to fill out and sign indicating that a particular person was on the waiting list from a certain date on. This is very significant because it means that homeless people throughout the city, if they want, can trek on into the Homeless Lack of Services Center and say, I want to get on the waiting list, and then get a little statement that they're on the waiting list. And if the police then go after them, even though they know that their tickets will be dismissed, it can't be considered as anything other than harassment and could be the basis for a lawsuit. Certainly would have an impact on public opinion and would be a clear documentation of what actually goes on in our community, unfortunately. And I might even say things are looking up.
It probably won't stop them from getting the ticket, but it'll at least be admissible in court that they had. Oh, and if you got a ticket already, it'll be dismissed. I don't know when you got it.
Yesterday.
Only
if you try to apply for shelter yesterday, though, then I don't really... But I don't know. I don't really know. I can't really comment on that one. But I think even showing that...
Even freedom of showing your ticket.
If you show that you were here trying to find a bed, I think that might even work for you as well. I think. And I hope it does work for you guys.
You had no beds last night, right?
No, we did.
You did have a bed last night.
No, I don't think we had any beds last night, so...
Do you allow puppies in the shelter?
No, no dogs in
no
the shelter.
No dogs.
How about antelopes?
Service animals.
Service antelopes?
Service animals.
Animals, yes.
Animals.
I don't have an antelope myself. But anyway, Charles, so how many of those camping verifications that the shelter has been full, people come to you, I have a camping ticket, I wasn't on the list, but I need to get this in court. How many times has that happened to you in the last year? Would you estimate?
Yes, I know.
Approximately. Don't know. Can't answer that.
Not sure. A dozen
times? Not sure at all.
Not sure. But 50 times? Probably not.
Not sure.
No, you No.
I'll let it go at that. All right, thank you.
It looks like Charles was clamming up at that point.
You're welcome. You were doing good there for a minute, Charles. So what we learned here is interesting. The camping ticket situation he didn't want to talk about, but he initially his statement, you won't get a receipt. We won't give you a receipt. But then he changed and did give a receipt. So pressure did have an impact, and that's good.
Or to be completely generous about it, it could be that their policy is not to offer receipts, but if a receipt is requested, that one will be issued. The reason why this might not be the case is because, A, they didn't seem to have a receipt form at all, and people have asked for receipts. I know this because people came to the Huff meeting and told us that they'd asked and not gotten them in the last year. And then, secondly, that seemed to be the situation when we arrived, that people had asked for receipts and told they were not available. And then until two other officials, Chris Younger and Sharon McKittrich, arrived, and then they said, oh, yes, they're available. So squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Becky, you say that
it's important for activists, too, because activists who are facing tickets for engaging in peaceful and lawful public protest, but if they fall asleep, will get camping tickets, need to have, I think, these receipts to show that they've tried to get shelter that night, couldn't do it, and that's one of the reasons they're out there protesting, because they're showing there is no shelter in spite of the sunny claims of some ignorant people in Santa Cruz who somehow think this is a hobo paradise or something.
What you created is, are you getting paid for this receipt form you're providing to the Homeless Lack of Services
Center? Oh, I'm not. I don't seek any remuneration for this. It's just a convenience. I know that Homeless Services Center, they're doing a lot of work on very little budget and understaffed and underpaid and all that. So if the fact that they're willing to accept a form that designed by Huff for a receipt and print it up and sign it, I'm just very thrilled.
You're here. Cody, do you have any thoughts about the situation?
Well, I'm glad to see everyone's now with me on this, and we're actually going to do this, so I'm pretty excited.
Talking about a potential protest tonight.
Mm-hmm. It seems everyone's down, so I'm going to see what happens.
So times apparently can undergo a change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just had to take an autonomous route on it, and it seemed to all work out.
Thank you, Cody.
Yeah, no problem.
Cody, when he came to the Huff meeting yesterday, was originally somewhat downhearted because he was the only person in the group to show up, and he felt that that somehow the plan to engage in a protest that he and the group had put together was going to be abandoned, and it just happened that the group showed up late, partially because they were delayed by law enforcement officials at the edge of the Poganip, and partially probably because Huff meets at 10 a.m. in the morning, which many think is too early. I've been willing to move the meeting to a later time, but some people think that's too late. You can't please everyone. But if you're interested in Huff, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, you can come. It happens every Wednesday, 10 o'clock in the morning at the Sub Rosa Cafe. That's 703 Pacific Avenue.
And we're down on Pacific Avenue.
And this is a brief kind of Pacific Avenue tour. To be followed soon by some interviews at the protest sleepout last night, which apparently is going to be repeated again tonight. So if anybody wants to contribute blankets or water or food, I'm sure there's some people there who will appreciate it at the post office.
It's about 15 to 3, listening to the music in front of the Palomar.
Let your love contemplate the day. Into our lives again, being new. I love you, and I want you to know right now I'm being new. Baby, I love you, and I want you to know right now that I, baby, I wanna give you some loving. Yeah.
Ukulele and Sunshine on Pacific Avenue. And with
Sara Maria.
And Sara, how long have you been out here?
Today or in general?
Both.
I've been in Santa Cruz for about a year and off, year and a half on and off, traveling in and out. And outside today, about 20 minutes.
No hassles yet from people with tape recorders or police officers?
Just people with tape recorders.
Aha! So are you a frequent singer on Pacific Avenue?
I am, yes.
And do you have a fairly lucrative profession here?
This is one of the things I do. I also create art, make accessories.
Like?
Clothing to wear, like shirts.
There's some big earrings.
These are the kind that I make.
These are what, a diameter of about 2 or 3 inches?
I'm not sure, maybe 5. They're pretty big.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Or maybe 4, yeah.
So, do you have any songs you recorded? Are you online? Can people find
you? Find me on SoundCloud under Sara Maria. It's spelled SaraMaria.
But you don't have your CD with you.
I do not have a CD at the moment.
Well, let's get to it, Sara Maria.
You are correct, Mundo.
Well, there you are. Entonces, gracias.
De nada.
And play on.
Thank you so much.
Okay, I'm talking here on Pacific Avenue in front of One for One Pacific Wear with
M. Anthony.
And M. Anthony, you say things are getting worse downtown?
Right off.
Go ahead.
You know what? You can't sit nowhere without being harassed by either the street security or the police. But they do allow dogs to be on the street.
Yeah.
Now, see, this dog here is cool.
Oh, yeah.
She's got this dog under control. He doesn't mess up.
He's a mellow dog.
But they got dogs shitting all over the sidewalk, pissing everywhere. And the where I sit down, the security guard goes up and says, you can't sit there, and you can't sit there. You got to sit on a bench, you know. I was sitting on that iron thing down here in the corner. The security guard says, you can't sit there. I said, what? Is it a piece of metal is all it is?
Yeah, and he's wrong. It's legal to sit there, but he's misleading you.
Tell me you can't sit there, man. You can't sit here. You can't stand there. You got to be 30 feet down the street to fucking smoke a cigarette, man. It was never this way when I first came here.
How long have you been here now?
Since 91.
And you live downtown?
Not anymore. I gave up my apartment. I got tired of dealing with slumlords.
Are you indoors? Or?
No, I'm camping out, and I'm happy camping out. I sleep better. I don't get bothered by the police or security because they don't know where I'm at, and if they can't see you,
mm-hmm.
and you're not there, they won't harass you.
You're here.
And I don't pay friggin' camping tickets either. That's a joke.
Right on.
But that's where it's getting, man. It's getting to where when I first came here, there was a lot of freedom here. There is no such thing as freedom.
Excuse me.
Freedom anymore here.
I think you're right. You know.
And look what's going on now in our country. The anarchists, and the primary is the Boston. What happened in Boston? There's a meaning behind that. They're making a point.
What meaning do you see?
Meaning I see is these are people who are against American society. That's where I look at it.
Are you sort of with them, against them, or are neutral?
I'm against them. I'm against them. But on the other hand, stuff like the Boston Marathon, that should have never happened. I'll tell you another thing that I...
That's okay. Boston Marathon should never have happened, you were saying?
Well, Yeah, but see, these are underground societies. No telling who was behind it. It could be, what do they call it, sabotagers.
Saboteurs.
Who are against government policy. You know, if you did, all you gotta do is read the paper and you see what has changed just here in Santa Cruz. This is the only town I've ever lived in where I've been abused. Like the little town I live in, you can go to the park and kick back and you won't even see a cop. They don't bother you because the park is for the people of the city or anyone. Don't matter if you live there or not. The park is to go kick back. But when you start having cops going into the park and harassing people, then you got the people who don't like the government who try to sabotage. And that's what's going on. You notice that the price of living is going up here, but your income is down here, and you can't even live. You can't even live a meaningful life anymore.
And we've been talking with
M. Anthony.
Any final words?
Santa Cruz needs a lot better government. Screw the dogs. Lighten up on the people who live here who can't even enjoy themselves on Pacific Avenue because if they scratch their ass, they're being harassed by community security or police.
Thank you, man.
And you are tuned to Free Radio 101.3 FM, freakradio.org. Got about 50 minutes left in the show, and the call-in number for all of you heavy-breathing callers who have been calling in by the hundreds is 427-3772, area code 831, 427-3772. And, you know, feel free to call in or not if you don't want to call in. If you don't like me anymore, then heck, don't call in. In the studio with me is a man who actually came in, Senor Cody, belly up to the mic if you want to say something, and welcome to Free Radio.
Thank you.
Yeah, very good. And now I know that you're part of this group of saboteurs and criminal malcontents who are sleeping on the steps of the post office.
That is correct.
And you intend to continue this illegal activity tonight?
That is correct.
Although, actually, it isn't illegal if you... Did you sign up at the Homeless Lack of Services Center getting on the waiting list for the Pauley Loft?
I did.
So, actually, the sleeping ban does not really apply to you, or let's put it this way. Tickets that you get under the sleeping ban are supposed to be automatically dismissed by the city attorney, or the shitty attorney, as I like to call him. But why don't you describe for us how things went last night and what you anticipate for tonight?
I felt last night went really well in the beginning because we managed to sleep all the way till about like 6:30 in the morning without any harassment, without from anyone. And then we had two police officers not even get out of their car, just tell us to wake up, and then drove away. And then the people at the post office asked us to move, so we moved to the circle right next to the post office. And within 45 minutes to a half an hour, three police officers showed up. They were very polite. They were very respectful. We were having conversation. They pretty much saw what we were doing and got back in their cars and left. And we thought we were pretty much free and clear from that point. Well, the shift change happened, and a fresh new police officer showed up to harass us. And at first, she was being extremely friendly, extremely tolerant, was having good conversation with us. I was trying to explain why we were here and what we were doing and why it was unfair that we didn't have a safe place to sleep, and she seemed really responsive to it. And then, when she told me that her boss was telling her what to do, I automatically asked, well, may I speak with your supervisor? She called her supervisor. The supervisor came down.
Who was the supervisor?
I can't remember his name for the life of me. I
get the names in the future, please.
I believe it's on film, but
that doesn't help. You want someone to write it down. I mean, it helps, but you better have it written down too. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, they just all look the same to me. But anyways,
all these supervisors. Go ahead.
But
is it a man or a woman?
Man,
supervisor,
bald, wearing sunglasses, very rude.
Not Sergeant Flippo, by any chance?
What does Sergeant Flippo look like?
I think he's bald, tall, and has sunglasses, but I could be thinking there may be other officers who meet that description, too. But in any case, what happened?
Well, the sergeant came down, and I tried to talk to him about what we were doing, but he blatantly told me, "I don't care what you're doing. Get off my sidewalk."
Get off my sidewalk?
Yes, he
very possessive kind
of
guy.
Yes, very possessive. Automatically assumed we didn't live there, so we had no say or anything to do. He told us that tons of people have done this before, so you're not being creative or original, and you should talk to them about how it didn't work. I tried to ask him, well, where can I go protest then? And he refused to give me that information. And I asked him, well, where can I safely sleep at night then? And he also refused to give me any answer to that question. He told me that I should, quote unquote, go do some research. And I will apparently just get the answers I'm looking for.
Go do some research. Perhaps some contemplation, meditation would be good, yes.
We tried to explain to him that we all had documentation stating that all the shelters were full, but he got creative and ticketed my friend Freedom for, instead of camping, he ticketed her for blocking the sidewalk and failing to follow a lawful order.
And what actually happened, if you feel comfortable describing it, was she blocking, someone trying to get by, and she intentionally blocked the way, or?
No, it was right in the middle of that circle, so people had plenty of room to move around. It was definitely pure intimidation. They threatened to ticket me for my dog and potentially take my dog away. They were definitely making quite a few threats, telling them about how we were wasting their time and that they could have been saving the community. And the most disturbing part to me was that the cop told me straight up that Santa Cruz is a dangerous place.
Oh, wow.
And I felt that was kind of disturbing that a police officer who's supposed to be protecting the community has openly admitted that he lives in a dangerous place.
Well, naturally, with armed thugs with guns and uniforms walking around, it could be dangerous. For some, only for the wrong kind of people.
So it would seem.
So, how will this impact your strategy tonight? If if the same sergeant shows up, he probably won't. It's a different shift again. But what's your response going to be to this if it happens again? Any idea?
I'm not entirely sure. I'm pretty sure we're probably going. Some of us are going to definitely get arrested. Without a shadow, that man has no patience whatsoever for us. He was telling us how he was being polite by giving us a warning and being respectful in a very condescending tone, which I tried to talk to him about, but he assumed that he had us all figured out and that he didn't need to talk to us about it.
Any news media show up at any point? Other than Free Radio Santa Cruz, of course.
Not really, no. A few onlookers looked over. I mean, I got flipped off by this guy on a bike. That kind of counts. Mm-hmm. A few people actually came up and talked to us and supported us and said that there should be a safe place for us to go and the police need to stop harassing us and that they were in complete support with us. So that was nice to see.
Now, what about homeless people in the local community? You're not from these parts, are you, Cody?
No, I'm originally from Vermont.
And so I know we had somebody in the studio earlier, Andrew from Connecticut. You're from Vermont. What is this East Coast obsession with Santa Cruz? Were you told that the times would be milk and honey here in the city by the sea? What's the story?
I just kind of ended up here. I'm not really sure how I got here. I just was here.
So you didn't come because the hippies told you to come, or you heard that there was wonderful social services here. It was a drug paradise. You could get all the needles you wanted, perhaps.
No, I don't hear too much of that. I've come to Santa Cruz quite a few times. I've been traveling for a long time, and it's definitely changed a lot. When the first time I ever came here, I had
how long ago?
About 3 years ago, the first time I came here, and I had a nice homeless person explain to me that this is the greatest place for homeless people to be, and that I should stay here forever.
Uh-huh. And was that your analysis when you were here 3 years ago?
No, that was totally not my analysis as to what was going on in Santa Cruz. There were lots of homeless people, but it's not a very welcoming atmosphere.
And this year, how do you find it?
Even worse. I I don't know. It's like now regular civilians are taking it upon themselves to attack homeless people because the police aren't doing a good enough job.
You spoke about this on the air, as I believe, regarding the East Side and attacks on your group some days ago, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct. I unfortunately wasn't there for that. But, yeah, a few of my friends were pepper sprayed and pushed around and threatened with knives.
And has that happened since?
Thankfully, no. I personally had a conversation with them, and it seems to have backed off ever since I did.
Did you? Were you using sweet reason? Did you point out that it was the man who was the enemy and not you people? Or how did you deal with the situation? If you wish to mention, and it doesn't involve any felonious threats.
I just walked up to him, started talking. Samson scared the shit out of them, so they didn't make a move, so they just listened to what I had to say.
And you scared the shit out of them. Was it some sort of machine gun off to the side? Or you don't have to answer these questions, by the way. They are being archived, and anybody can hear them at any time, so be aware.
I mean, nothing really violent. They wanted to start violence with me, but my dog, Samson, just barked at them.
Samson is your dog.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one who always barks when anybody walks by, however peaceful. A badly trained dog, I might say. Samson, get it together, Samson. But he's kind of a friendly dog when you talk to him, but he seems to be very barkish.
He does like to bark, but it came in handy at that moment because even in the group of five of them, they weren't going to fight me. They were telling me to call off my dog.
I see.
And I told them no, so I got a safe space of distance to have a conversation with them.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a conversation.
And what did you talk about?
Not going near my friends. Stop stalking my friends. You have like that. There are bigger and better things you could be doing with your time right now. And I was pretty much trying to figure out what we did to them exactly, and what did we do that was so offensive.
Did you find out?
Nope, they refused to answer. But they were intimidated enough not to go near again.
And that conversation you had happened when?
The day after I found out about the attacks. I went out and found them.
So this was like a week or two ago, I guess, huh?
Mm-hmm. About.
So, you know, I'd be happy to come down tonight and you know, give you some suggestions as to how to deal with possible police activity. But again, anything I'd suggest is, you know, just an idea or a suggestion. And, you know, people make their own decisions in these circumstances. How about there are homeless people responded to this protest? You've been around town today and you were there last night. What kind of reaction did you get from the homeless community? Positive, negative, neutral, both?
I would say neutral and positive. I wouldn't say anyone was really against us or thought it was a bad idea. There was some people who said that like were really happy to see us and wanted to see us there again and again and again and thought that was the only way that anything would change was continuing persistence. And then there was people who just are a little negative about it and don't think it will change anything and it's just going to get us arrested, so there's no real point. So they support the idealism, but they think that it's not actually going to accomplish anything.
But do they blame? Are they afraid you're going to make it worse for homeless people later?
I think I've only heard that from one person, that they felt it was going to make it worse, and they really couldn't make a very good argument as to why it was going to make it worse.
Indeed. Keith McHenry will be having a Arm the Homeless with Cell Phones and Knowledge and Dignity kind of rally at the Sub Rosa Cafe Saturday at 2 o'clock. Do you intend to go up to that yourself? Or?
I do intend to go up to that.
Did you hear him speak on last Sunday?
India Joe's?
Yes.
Yeah, I did.
And what was your reaction to this co-founder of Food Not Bomb?
I really liked what he had to say. I really liked. He had a lot of really awesome stories to share. I learned a lot of history about a lot of programs that I appreciate in San Francisco that I didn't even know existed because of Food Not Bombs. It was just really impressive to see like how small Food Not Bombs has been, and now knowing that it's globalized and there's Food Not Bombs chapters all over the world. It's I consider it really inspiring. It's one of the few things in activism that is like really stuck. Mm-hmm. And has really made a global impact on people, and it's really impressive to see.
So, tonight you're anticipating, you think the you think the police will arrest you folks for attempt or if they ask you to leave, have you kind of worked out some options as to what you want to do? Have you? There are those who say, and I think with some justice, that sometimes being arrested is not the best thing to do. One should choose one's options. Sometimes it is a good thing to do, perhaps, and if you have a big enough group of people, or if you have a strong enough sense of that it will inspire people somewhere down the road, or if it's just something you feel has to be done as a matter of moral principle. On the other hand, some will say that you can do more out of jail than in jail, and then some will say, well, you're only going to be jailed for a little while anyway. Although, you know, the question always arises what they're going to arrest you for. And these are all things that, you know, questions that always come up when the possibility of arrest arrives. You've thought about this stuff, no doubt.
My only real concern is I don't really care if I get arrested because...
What about your doggies?
That's
Samson?
The only thing I care about is pretty much my dog. And I've already decided that if it ultimately comes down to it, I have someone who's going to watch my dog and will walk away from the police and will not get arrested or get charged or anything. We'll take the warning and walk away. And if I decide that the moment is right, then I'm just going to sit there and they're going to have to carry me.
Okay. Forgive me, I'm falling asleep myself. I'm going to play some more interviews, some of which happened that night. And I encourage you to, if you want to hang in the studio and make some commentary, you're welcome to do that. If you get tired, you want to hit the road, that's fine too. And we've been talking with Cody here. In case you got questions for Cody, comments, grunts, groans, or any other kinds of exclamations, do call in. 427-3772 is the call-in number.
Here's some illegal. Well, here's a legal or is it an illegal experience from?
Oh, don't mind me.
This is. Can I call
Captain
you
an anonymous?
Captain, this is a man who plays on the street here in front of Forever 21. Go ahead, sir.
I was just searching through the nice little law book and seeing what kind of things are going on out there. But under the color of law, you cannot be told something that is untrue. And being told that it is a law to make you change what you're doing. You can't, if they tell you something and they say that it's the law so that you have to go somewhere else and do something else, but it's not actually the law, you can actually charge the officer who tells you to change your actions.
And I don't know that that's actually the case, but I know that there is a thing called equitable estoppel, which means you can use it as a defense in court. You were told by a police officer to commit an action, which he then tried to arrest you for later. This happened to me, actually, when I was serving with Food Not Bombs in San Francisco 20 years ago in 1993 or 94. I was serving free food, and the police officer came up and, you know, told us to stop, and we kept serving because people are hungry. And they arrested us, put us in handcuffs, took us away. But the same officer, Officer Lino, I believe his name was, African-American officer in San Francisco, had earlier been distributing a piece of paper that listed food services, one of them being Food Not Bombs, in the location where I was serving. So he was actually directing people to come to that place and then arresting the food servers who were there, which... one would have thought would have resulted in my charges being dismissed, or at least a jury finding me not guilty. However, I was found guilty for a number of reasons involving a prejudiced judge, an inept public defender, and the fact that my chief witness, Keith McHenry, the man who will be speaking on Saturday at this Homes Not Jails, California Homeless Bill of Rights get-together at the Sub Rosa Cafe at 2 o'clock that we were talking about earlier, he was jailed on the first day of my trial, released without charges on the last day, and he was my chief witness. and they wouldn't allow, the judge would not allow the jail to bring him in as a witness. So that was interesting. It's called equitable estoppel. If a cop tells you to do something and then tries to charge you as a crime for doing it, you can use as a defense what's called equitable estoppel. But I don't think you can get the DA to charge the cop with a crime. Although, I suppose if the cop tries to get you to kill someone, police officers are rarely charged with murder, though they seem to be killing people with some regularity in different cities.
If it's not actually law that he's telling you and telling you that it is. So, and he's going to be personally held liable and, you know, potentially faces jail and or prison time and a hefty fine.
I want to be there when you engage in your first lawsuit here.
You have to have the papers and get their information and then know the law so that you know that you're not improperly serving them.
I wouldn't put a large amount of money on that one, but you know, if it's true, I'm very happy to hear it.
It's a federal law, actually. It's a federal law. It's not just state or county.
Show me a time it's actually been effectively used in this state, and I'll be more interested.
Well, I'll see what I can do. But
I want to hear about
it. So far, they've been leaving me alone. We'll see what happens. But I'm going to get the paperwork and carry it around with me just in case.
Okay. Well, thank you. We've been talking with, or you prefer to remain?
Captain Anonymous.
Captain A. Thank you. Well, I'm out here at Pacific and Water Streets. It's about 5 after 10 near the post office, and I'm talking with...
Butterfly.
Butterfly, you were saying that... You were describing this group of folks who are here?
Yes, I was saying that the group of folks that are here that are protesting right now, they're a young group, and there's a lot of them. They go in numbers because it's dangerous. And they're not from here, but they heard about the dream of Santa Cruz and what Santa Cruz was and what it meant and the life that it spoke. It spoke like love and live and laugh together. And so these young travelers here come here on the dream of the outside of what they say Santa Cruz is, and they come here and they are disappointed. They are disappointed in Santa Cruz. And as they are disappointed, I know that the people that come here on vacation, they also come here to see the things it once was. So when you don't protect the things that make Santa Cruz Santa Cruz, then you're not protecting yourself or your investments. Stores are closing down everywhere. And, you know, when they lose their stores, there's still someone with a guitar or someone doing the hula hoops or doing their jewelry that lets you know that even though life is whatever it might be, that you can always start from the bottom up, and that's what we do. We're your bottom. We'll hold you up if you fall. But we do say that it's dangerous out here. And with the last shooting of the police, the cops are coming down on us. And we're about love and peace and just all of us live, you know, together in harmony. And the stores have theirs for sale. We have ours just for you. And so you should stand up for us, because we're not going to go anywhere, because we're what Santa Cruz is made of. It's peace, love, and joy, and a safe place to lay our heads. And the police are supposed to be relaxed, because this is a place of comfort and beauty and getting down to self. And it's Butterfly, and these people that have come here, they came here on a dream of what they heard that Santa Cruz was.
Now, Butterfly, have you been outside recently? Are you an outside woman?
I've been outside for 25 years. I'm a part of Tent City down in Sacramento and Safe Ground, which is a clean and sober homelessness where anybody that comes off the Greyhound trying to have something better for themselves need a safe place to sleep. Our Safe Ground, they would come directly from the Greyhound, and we would have a tent and a cot that they could put up and have their privacy so they could still feel human. And we would watch their stuff during the day. There would be the security guards. We had cooks. I was the cook for 200 people down in Safe Ground in Sacramento. And there's just going to be more people that are losing their jobs. And I know that they would want to be safe instead of doing what happened when the police...
How long have you been here?
I've been coming back and forth here to Santa Cruz since 1999. I come out of Colorado. I come out of Arizona. I come out of Washington. I come out of San Jose. And what I do is I help those that cannot help themselves because of mental conditions. And, you know, everything's closing down, the hospital. So there are people out here that, you know, are in danger. We have the gangs coming, hurting us. You know, we don't make enough money to rent anywhere. You know.
Have you been outside for the last week here in Santa Cruz?
Yes, yes, I have.
What's been your experience with the police?
Well, it's like this. I've been outside for the last week. I went to the armory twice in the last week, and after that, I went far away from my campsite. Now, I'll just say this about the police. We have nothing against the police, okay? But harassment... Right, when you have nowhere to go and they don't want you in the downtown area, they want you away from the people that are coming here on vacation. So we try to gather ourselves up away where we're not like a nuisance. And the police come all the way out there to tell us simply it's time to get up. See? So
their alarm clock.
Yes, they are. For no reason at all. We're not bothering anybody, you know, and there's a lot more things out there that they could be concerned about.
Fair enough.
And for them just to wake us up and then, see, they're not just waking us up, but let's say that we get up and we've got a job interview or we want to go put out applications and we need our clothing, so there's nobody here that's going to, like, pay for a storage unit for everybody, which I have done, Safe Ground Sacramento. And so we leave our things behind to go and try to be a part of society and give back, and then the police take our belongings.
And when did this last happen to you?
For it last happening to me, I'm just going to say it like this. I don't give them the chance to take my stuff. So then when I have all my stuff packed in the trailer behind my bike and I want to come into town and enjoy the town, this is Santa Cruz, I am looked at like, oh my God, she has her bed behind her on a trailer. Oh, she must be so, you know, at least I carry my stuff to take that shame. So by you guys taking people's things and and throwing it away, not even leaving a note from where you took it saying, we have your belongings, that is just chicken.
Did this happen to anyone you know in the last week?
Yes, yes.
Who did it happen to?
Well, I can't say who it happened to, but I can say it happened to many up in Harvey West. See, and not only in Harvey West, but they actually go onto private property, and they tell the owner that you can't have this person sleeping on your property because it's against the law, even though the owner owns his property.
Impressive, Butterfly. Let me thank you and get away from your cigarillo.
Yeah.
And again,
I am so quitting those. That's why I don't buy any. But you know what? Between us, you know, we'll feed each other and we'll take care of each other. And the mayor down in Sacramento, he said the
I'm going to leave it at that because my interest in the mayor in Sacramento is very limited. Thank you. Yeah, we're talking with Frank. Go ahead, Frank.
Good evening, everybody. Santa Cruz, California. Frank Joseph Lopez, activist for homeless. It's 12 o'clock. It's 10 after...
10 after 10.
10 after 10. Mm-hmm. Peace be with you, and always be sure of one thing. Give sleep a chance, and God be with you.
Thank you, Frank.
God bless everybody.
So down here at the protest, there's a large sign that says Free Love. And I'm counting 5, 10, maybe 15 people here. Other signs are here, created by the people here. One says it is a terrifying feeling when one is powerless to control one's autonomy. Signed, Chaos. Another one says, if safety is a priority in this community, then why do we have to fight for a safe place to sleep? And there are more signs on the steps of the post office. Freedom, free sleep, freedom. Sleeping is not equal to camping. Any law against sleep is unjust. And we have a number of, at least one pooch here. And we have some non-pooches as well.
Oh, okay. Who's this stand for?
We're just doing our job, and there's a swastika on a flag. And here's an individual who seems a bit older than the rest of these folks. What's your name, madam?
Jean.
And you're next to a dog that used to be a little dog and has gotten much bigger.
Now, isn't he? I'm just staying with the mellowest critter here, I think.
Do you need a blankie or something?
Not yet. I'm not planning on sleeping here.
Well, sleeping, as you know, is a crime in Santa Cruz. Now, you don't look like the criminal type.
Well, I have a place to go, so. But I thought I'd hang out and give a little support.
Fair enough. Well, anything happened in the last hour? I know this has been going on since I was told 9 o'clock.
You know, I got here around 9:30. Pretty much the same folks with a few folks stopping by, so checking it out.
Any police officers here to keep order?
I haven't seen one cop car go by.
I saw one kind of across the street going the other way, but nothing too close, actually. Well, Gene, you're with Food Not Bombs. In fact, you come to this location every week to serve food.
Right. I think people are starting to realize post office is a good public space.
At least some people are, although many of these folks are relatively new to town, I think.
Yeah, somebody was asking where the Wells Fargo Bank was, so I figured they're pretty new.
Wells Fargo Bank, of course, for those who don't know, is a block away from here, and it is, of course, there are two Wells Fargo banks. One is an actual bank that's open for business. The other is a leased building that has been surrounded by a fence. I guess the fence is now gone, but it was a point of some controversy and still is for a group called the Santa Cruz 11, who were singled out by the police among hundreds or at least scores of people who occupied that building to try to create a community center back in the Occupy Santa Cruz days a year and a half ago. Well, anything you want to add, Jean?
Not particularly, no. Glad to see you. Did you go home and come back?
I intend to go home again.
I know. I parked my car around the corner.
You can park it here if you want.
Yeah. Well, just in case I got arrested, I put it in a free lot.
Good point. Jean, you're way ahead of me.
I can't get arrested.
So I'm also talking with a man who's traveled from Berkeley. What's your name, sir?
My name's James in the Sunshine.
And James in the Sunshine, what brought you to Santa Cruz this time?
What? It's better question is, why did I leave last time?
Oh, well, I mean, did you just recently arrive?
Yeah.
And what coaxed you to come down here?
Sub Rosa.
The Sub Rosa Cafe?
Yeah.
What about the Sub Rosa Cafe attracted you?
It's like a place Abby Hoffman and Bob Dylan would hang out.
It's probably a bit more militant than either of them. Although in its own way it's less militant. It's kind of hard to describe. Notice across the street there are a number of people kind of gathering. I get the impression they're looking, but I'm probably just hanging out over there. A couple of dogs.
I don't know.
Five or six folks. I don't know. Could be. Nobody knows. Who are the folks across the street? Does anybody know? Well, there are a group of people across the street who apparently, I'm told, are not trying to separate themselves from this group so they don't find a jail cell in their future. I'll probably go over and talk to them and see what they think. We have a man with a guitar who's doing some playing, and two people are getting back rubs, and one is just, no, two people are giving back rubs, and two are getting them, and one is just getting a back rub. And we have a man playing a guitar. And
that's about as much as it's good about him.
And the beat goes on, as we say.
Well, we went back. I think we were going to do this boy. Right on her daddy's bed, you know, I shoved it in her rump and then she.
I think that sounds sad playing guitar.
It's original, actually.
Well, keep an eye on my car and don't let anybody drive it off without a receipt.
Okay. So you grab the dog. Get those receipts from the cops. See what we got.
Make sure the police give you a receipt.
Most definitely.
And we've been talking with. Thank you, Dirk. Talking with a man who's a connoisseur of protests. You were around for some long ones a couple years ago.
Yeah, I was at Occupy.
And what you see here, we're here across the street next to the Bank of the West. And what's your thought? You see these folks at the post office over there. What do you think?
I think they're trying to do the right thing because we need rights where someone can sleep legally outdoors here, because this town is full of rich people and poor people that don't have homes are not invited. And that's kind of against your constitutional rights and freedom and pursuit of happiness. So it's amazing what's going on. But, yeah, you know, the best to them. I hope it works. I'm not going to stay here this time and go to jail because I have a, not indoors, I have a place to crash, though, and it's somewhat safe, so I'm going to go there and sleep. But, yeah, more power to them, man. I hope it works.
Thank you, Dread Eye.
And no problem. Enjoy.
Anybody else have any comments they want to make? Any comments? Okay, guys. So the streets of Upper Pacific, by Upper Pacific meaning the part of the Pacific Avenue that's near the town clock, are largely deserted. There are a few people walking, occasionally one or two sitting on a bench. Actually, I think I see actually a person under a blanket on the bench outside Byzantine Jewelry. And another one on the bench outside Curios.
And that's a thrilling monologue. But in the meantime, in the studio with us, we have Freedom and Cody, the big two, who are looking forward to a pleasant, if chilly, evening on the steps of the post office. Or what's your thoughts on this, Freedom? I understand you got a ticket for bullying people on the sidewalk by obstructing their passage. Is that accurate?
Yeah, it's actually quite ironic. We got it on tape where, as I was getting a citation for blocking the sidewalk, I asked the police officer if he regarded it as blocking the sidewalk, as I was, what I was currently doing, if that was blocking the sidewalk. And as he was writing a ticket, he said no, on film.
And how large a space of passage do people have on either side of you?
We were in the circle in front of the post office, not exactly on the post office property, but over where Food Not Bomb serves on Saturdays at 4 p.m. And there was ample room in every direction around us if anyone wanted to get to the crosswalks or over to the front street sidewalk right in front of the post office. So we were very mindful of people in the area. And, of course, there were very minimal people in the area because of this Gestapo state we're currently living in. There's, you know, a tangible fear out there. And the one thing I would like to say to anyone listening is there really is nothing to be afraid of, really. I mean, one of the officers in jail tried to be a boogeyman and tell me I could not communicate with a friend behind glass. And I thought it was funny because he said, because I said so. And it just reminded me a lot of my mother. And also this morning when we woke up, someone said, you need to get up now. You need to get up. And I said, 5 more minutes, Mom.
Now, this, do you have a copy of the citation you received?
Not currently on my person.
Was it a misdemeanor or an infraction?
I'm not sure.
Because usually the blocking the sidewalk does not really become a crime unless you are intentionally stopping people from going past. In other words, even if you know, you're taking up a large part of the sidewalk, if you're willing to move to one side or the other, were you refusing adamantly to move at all? What was your situation? Before you answer, be aware you are making a statement that is archived. Go ahead.
As I said earlier, as I was sitting and receiving the citation, I was asking the police officer if I was, in fact, blocking the sidewalk. And as he was citing me, he said, no, I was not. So I took that as me not blocking the sidewalk.
Did he ask you to move at any point? Did you refuse to move?
Yes.
In the sense that, did he say that you were blocking the sidewalk? Or did anyone attempt to walk by and ask you to move because their path was blocked?
No.
Was the officer's path blocked?
No.
Well, then the officer, I have to say, was something of a blockhead in this regard. So you have two citations, one for being in a closed area or maybe restricting. Not sure if that's what it was or if it was obstructing an officer or resisting arrest.
So the first citation was for being in a closed area because all of nature is closed.
That's an
all
infraction,
all of public property, all of private property.
Do you have a copy of that with you?
Or? I do also do not have a copy of it on my person.
Never carrying those copies. Well.
But then the actual arrest was for obstructing an officer from their job. However, I was compliant with walking to the police vehicle. I actually didn't even need to be handcuffed because I was not obstructing arrest. And so I was actually confused, quite confused, when I was in jail and I received the municipal code saying that I obstructed arrest of some sort. It was very confusing. I mean, I know for sure that I specifically have been targeted by the SCPD, which is why I'm looking into filing a lawsuit against the SCPD, but also collecting information of other folks who have repeated tickets and harassment as well as arrest, because I know there's a vast majority of folks out there who are getting mistreated severely just because they're home free.
Now, I understand you are going to be speaking tonight at the Sub Rosa open mic, is that right?
That is correct.
So people can contact you there if they have had the similar experiences that you say of improper attention from the police department.
Absolutely.
And you're also intending to be at the continuing your First Amendment activities on the streets near the post office tonight?
That is correct. And in the morning, hopefully, some type of breakfast will manifest itself. That would be greatly appreciated.
You're soliciting food from the unknown people, perhaps?
Who knows? Anything could happen.
Now, is there a phone number that either you want to give so people can contact you or not?
I do not have a phone, nor have I asked anyone.
I mean, I have four numbers, but I don't think I can give out any of those numbers without the permission of the people.
Correct. So. That's how I feel as well.
Yeah. If people do want to provide something, though, you can contact me and I'll pass on the word. My number is 423-4833, 423-4833, or you can just go to the Sub Rosa between 8 and 9 at 703 Pacific in the next hour, or you can go down to the post office steps thereafter throughout the night and provide crepe Suzettes, pancakes, waffles, whatever.
I just wanted to make clear one of the reasons this is so relevant and so urgent as a community to stand together is due to the violence toward home free people. Last week, my friends were violently assaulted by a gang in Santa Cruz from the east side, and the police officers came, but it almost seemed like they had some type of correlation with this gang, because one of the things they said was maybe you should go somewhere that they can't find you. So I wanted to make that known to the public that it's something that we really need community support. If you pay taxes, if you don't believe that we should be treated this way, and not just home free people, but people in general, you cannot sit on the avenue at any given point during the day, and you cannot have a dog on the avenue at night. All of these laws we did not get to consent on, and they're just increasing, and we need to stand in solidarity before it's too late. It's not too late for peace. We need to be together, and all I can say is throughout the night, in the early hours of the morning and tomorrow morning, would be very much appreciated if folks could come out and express their grievances, show support any way you can. If you have a video camera or blankets, food, even just come and talk. If you feel like you're lacking in solidarity, we're here for you, because that's what we're here for.
So you have several cameras already to document what goes on, right?
We have, yes, and we have some charged as well, and prepared. So, however, it's great to get as many as possible and have it posted all over the place.
Now, I did, as you may remember, I don't know if you were at the Huff meeting when Natasha presented her video clip that she had taken, apparently, of Sonny being accosted and inappropriately treated. Beaten, I think, was the word, by the police.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave that clip to Brent Adams, who's a video journalist. But I wanted to make sure that Natasha and your group feel comfortable about that, because Brent has taken a rather critical view of the protest. I don't know if you've read his recent opinions online. He's been very rather harsh attacking myself, Becky, and others as the people who have manipulated and misled you and goaded you into a protest that will only result in arrests and futile behaviors. And so, I mean, that's his position, that's his opinion. I've asked him to return the video clip because I thought, much as I like his work as a video journalist, I'm a little bit concerned that the same people that he, you know, is attacking, because I believe Natasha was one of the people sleeping there last night, he says he, you know, he is entrusted with the responsibility of posting one of her videos online. So I'm hoping that happens. And I think Brent is a great video journalist. I appreciate his sanctuary work, but I'm a bit concerned about that. I'm wondering why he isn't here, for instance. But
well, one thing I have to say to that is a quote from the Flowbots, and it is, "Criticize they, but who the fuck are we?" And I say that because this is our struggle, not the home free people's struggle. This is our struggle as a society, as Americans, as individuals, because fuck nationalism. And we need to hold ourselves accountable and take personal responsibility. If we feel like this is unjust, then we need to do something about it, or it will continue to perpetuate. We need to fight nonviolently against the injustice that is being threatened upon us immediately. Immediately. The time is now. We are here now, and we need to do something together.
Well, I think you are doing something together, and I think different groups are trying to do different things. But I'm, I guess, I was asking a number of different folks at the protest the same question. Have other homeless people had a positive response to what you're doing, a negative response, a neutral response? What's been the input you've gotten?
So far, it's been pretty much positive from what I can comprehend. We have had quite a few people stop out by throughout the night. Some folks were playing guitars, just keeping the morale up. And it was beautiful to see the solidarity and the relief in people's faces when they had a place to sit, when they could chill for a moment without having to feel threatened by the police. And that, I believe, is one reason the police always want people to keep moving. And to, it's not just the police, but the state, the city council, for example, the government in general just wants to run people into the ground. I mean, myself, I have an injured ankle and I cannot keep moving. And the puppy I'd caretake for is sick, and he cannot keep moving. He needs plenty of rest right now. And Cody has a bad back from continuously moving. So it is our time to stand, and we need solidarity. That is why I'm really grateful to be here on this radio show to reach out to whoever. And if you could spread the word, you know, it's time, folks. It's time right now, and we need you out there. You know, we need you out in the real world, so please come out, show support any way you can.
Well, don't hold your breath is what I'm saying, but it would be good if it happens, for sure. I want to thank you, Freedom and Cody, for coming into the studio and chatting. Andrew, of course, came in earlier. You've been listening to Bathrop Spears Broadsides. Coming up next, it's Uncle Dennis from the Cream to the Dregs. And if you want to hear more about this situation, you can, I think, probably hear more at the Sub Rosa Cafe between 8 and 9:30, because that's where you two will be headed, I imagine. And then, of course, bound down to the post office, I guess, or whatever happens. And again, I encourage you to feel, you know, to be flexible. Don't feel obliged to be rigid in how you respond to any of the provocations of the police department. You know,
I also wanted to make
up your own minds what you want to do, you know.
Sorry to interrupt. I also wanted to say to people who might be a little intimidated by police that this is not an immediate risk arrest situation. In fact, it shouldn't even come to a ticket. I mean, it's really offensive that these types of consequences are happening for this alleged crime. And you have the opportunity to stand up and to be away from the police, to just be a passerby, someone who is documenting, and all of these things you can not risk arrest for. So if you do feel kind of uneasy just because of that, you know, you can be in the area and you'll still be safe. So I just wanted to spread that. But the more eyes we have, the more people voicing themselves saying that this is not right, this is not something that taxpayers' dollars should be going to, the better. Because, we, like I said, solidarity is extremely, extremely important.
Thank you, Freedom.
Thank you very much.
And thanks to listeners. You can get in touch with me off air if you have contributions for this group one way or another. I'll pass them on after I take my 25% cut, of course. 423-4833 is the number to call. And I won't be there at that number, but I will be picking up messages and I'll be passing on information. Thanks for being with me on this edition of Bathrop Spears Broadsides. And we'll do it again on Sunday, perhaps, at 9:30 in the morning.
And when the sun went down, sweet ukulele played a song that sang so high. In the trees sang the wind, neath the moonlight glistening, hiding all the stars in the night. She was a mystery. When the sun went down, sweet ukulele, and it played a song that could take me away. Many years had passed since music had moved me, nothing seemed to carry me through. I sought the lore of the tiger and the mist from the jungle and the drops of brandy too. And one day I was riding on a horseback, saw ukulele for a crowd. I stood in that valley and was taken away by every note she played, no doubt. She was a mystery. I was longing to hear her again. When the sun went down, sweet ukulele, and it played a song that could take me away. When she played her song, she looked my way, and I galloped to her side so proud. When she finished her song, she jumped up on my horseback, going where the spirit allowed. She was a mystery. I was longing to hear her again. When the sun went down, sweet ukulele, and it played a song that could take me away. She was a mystery.
Let's see. I can't hear anything. There, I can. Robert doesn't use headphones, so he doesn't know that the volume in the headphones was turned all the way down. Oh, well. That was Dan Frechette. And I'm not sure what we heard.
My two favorite people that I love so much.
Boy, you better shoot a little higher.
Well, actually, I don't like to hear people. I'll be quiet. I won't say that one. That'll get me hurt. I'm not going to say that because you're not none of those things.
Some random visitors in the show, in the studio here tonight, just hanging out. You're totally random, man.
I'm so random.
You're so random. It's unbelievable.
Anyways,
welcome to Free Radio Santa Cruz. 101.3. You really want to be on mic? There it is. Here.
Yeah, I'm glad to be on the mic. It's good to see Uncle Dennis. He's a hard-working person that's been doing this for like 16-plus years. And Robert Doris right over here.
All right. Enough said.
Thank you.
Enough said. Anyway, this is From the Cream to the Dregs. I'm Uncle Dennis, and we're here until 11 o'clock tonight with music and news. Starting around 8:30, we'll have the Brew of the Week. 9 o'clock, the Earth First Update for half an hour of environmental news. Then at 10 o'clock, the Ultimate Vinyl Hour, where we actually play a record. And for those of you who don't know what records are, they're big, round, black things. So, anyway, here's some music for you.
People
my days are shaded gray, and my nights are shaded blue. My faith's in line with worry, and my mind is split in two. I feel just like a man whose last real hope is gone. Morality and religion didn't teach me right from wrong. And I need a little something. Oh, just to mellow my days, 'cause I'm getting tired of acting. And life's one act to play. Changing fast, ain't got time to think twice. Wanna keep on the ball, then you've got to pay the price. You can't judge the future by looking at the past. And there ain't nobody out there who you can stop and ask. Oh, I need a little something, just to mellow my days, 'cause I'm getting tired of acting. And life's one act. Some people think, oh yes they do, they've found the way, but there are a dime a dozen, you can see them every day. Some people are happy in their delusion.